good picture for.
That's a spring in John 8:32. And so we need to know the truth. And that was our primary focus last week. Proverbs 23:7 basically says that you are what you think. And so we need to think properly. And that's all possible because of the grace of God. And in 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says that we have the mind of Christ. And so it is possible for us to think properly as God would have us think. However, most of us know all too well we still have our old mind as well. And those, you know, the mind of Christ and our own carnal mind kind of fight each other. Yeah. Okay, there's a few of us that still struggle with that. The rest of you probably got it all together. I understand. But let's just give you some examples. See, this is not anybody you know. It's just a made-up name. But let's say Frank became Christian 2 months ago. He regularly attends church, makes new friends, but he's still struggling with anger. He says, I can't stop my outbursts. I get really irritated at the way people treat me. Every day I pray to God, but every day people still make me angry. And he also confides that he's constantly struggling with lustful thoughts, even though he became a Christian just 2 months ago. And then there's Harry, who is 67 years old. He's been a Christian all of his adult life, but he grew up with a father who was verbally abusive to him. And he says, I can still hear my father saying, you'll never amount to anything. You're good for nothing. And the damage still hangs on, even though Harry is now a grandfather and loves God. Those struggles in the mind, they're there. They're real. And those two examples I gave might not be identical, but I think most Christians struggle with the battle in the mind. Am I right about that? We struggle with that battle. The old way of thinking has not gone away, and so we still struggle with temptation, bitterness, fear, hopelessness, frustration, and just plain evil thoughts. We still wrestle with all those things. We want a new mind, but the battle still rages on. That's where the battle is. Now, at its heart, the worldly mind is selfish. And we have the mind of Christ, but we still have a little bit of that old mind in us, and it's pretty selfish. It's all about me. Things like, what do I get out of this? Or how can I get ahead and rise to the top? Or even this, I don't like the way so-and-so does such and such. That's really selfish. And the classic is, got to look out for number one. That's a worldly mindset. Now, as Christians, we usually know that we shouldn't be thinking like this. But the Bible indicates some other things that maybe are a little more subtle that we sometimes find ourselves caught up in thinking. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about pride, envy, gossip, slander, strife, greed, and deceit, among many others. Those are all part of the worldly mindset, and we struggle with those things. And if you say you don't struggle with those things, then I question whether you're really being honest. Okay, I think we all wrestle with that. We recognize that we don't want to be that way, and Christ doesn't want us to be that way, and yet we still struggle with it. And that kind of thinking leads to some serious problems. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, it basically says that the people who just kind of give themselves full on into that kind of thinking, if you just keep going that way, God will give you over to a depraved mind. That's what it says. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, it talks about people like that. And it talks about how they're darkened in their understanding. And they're separated from the life of God because of their ignorance. And ultimately, it's a hardening of the heart. And so if we don't fight the battle in the mind, and we give in to the worldly way of thinking, it's a deep, dark place that we're headed. We don't want to be there. We need a renewed mind. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now here's a promise. If I renew my mind, God has some awesome benefits and rewards. He says, I will be transformed. Not just cleaned up on the outside, but completely changed on the inside too. And then he says that I will know and understand God's will for my life. Now I know I've been in the ministry long enough. I grew up in the church as well, that I know most Christians are really interested in God's will. What's God's will? You know, and we know what the Bible says, and that's God's will, but what about more specific will for my life? Well, one of the ways you find that out is by being transformed and having your mind renewed, and then you will know God's will. So we need this transformed mind. And then not only that, but the God of peace will be with us as we are transformed. When you have a renewed mind, the peace of God guards you, and the God of peace guides you. So we need to renew our minds. And as 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so how do we actually get a renewed mind? How do we capture those thoughts? That's the real question. Okay, I know I need a renewed mind. I recognize the battle, but how do I get there? Well, when it comes to renewing your mind, God will do his part. In fact, he's already done it. 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And so he has given us a mind that is capable of being renewed. Okay? So right at the get-go, we need to be clear that it is possible. By God's power, it is within reach to have a renewed mind. Okay? Because if we can't even get that step, then we are doomed to be stuck in the worldly mindset. I can't help it. It'll never change. No. Scripture says God has given us a sound mind. It's there. Now, we maybe haven't nurtured it. We might not have developed it. But God has given us the fundamentals to have a renewed mind. And God... He also provides the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. John 16:13 says that. And then God promises to bring us from darkness into light. John 8:12. And God's word is light for us. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And remember, the worldly mind becomes darkened. And so we need to shine the light of God's word on it, and that helps renew our mind. And then God promises to give wisdom to those who ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5. And so God does his part. He has given us the basic fundamentals we need with a sound mind. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us wisdom. He gives us the word so that our minds can be renewed. Okay? So now what's our part? When it comes to renewing our mind, God has done his part. What's ours? If we want to experience renewed mind, there are three basic things we need to do. And when we get to the third one, I'm going to actually expand on that with even more specific steps that I believe will help us renew our minds. But first thing we need to do is pray. You want a renewed mind, you need to pray. Philippians 4:6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And now we're going to build toward the renewed mind. But this prayer, it's the joy prayer. Remember we talked about how you get joy? It's Jesus, others, and yourself. Okay? Here he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer. That's beginning with Jesus. We talk to God. It's also that the prayer there in the original language indicates a place for prayer. And in Acts chapter 16:13, it says that they prayed outside of the city walls. And so that suggests an alone time with Jesus, just talking and listening. Outside of the city is kind of get out of all the regular stuff and just get alone with God. Put Jesus first. And then it's others, because he says prayer and petition. And so that petition is supplication, is asking, it's pleading, it's seeking, and it's primarily focused on other people. You know somebody that needs a healing, or you know somebody that needs a breakthrough, you should be praying for them. Pray for others. And then it says, with thanksgiving, and that's grateful language, and that gets you out of the self-focused mindset. We practiced that a little bit the last couple of weeks, just expressing a little bit of thanksgiving. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay, good. And there's something about it. An attitude of gratitude, it just changes your whole perspective. It brightens your day. Carol Ellsbury says, I preach myself happy. Yeah, absolutely. Start with gratitude. And then there's the yourself. Present your request to God, and that is to ask with urgency. Now, in the right order, it's okay to make requests for yourself. It's okay to pray for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, but it needs to be in the right order. God cares about your needs and your desires. He certainly does. Just keep the right order. Jesus, others, and then yourself. You reverse those. And I think I said when we talked about joy, it will lead to years of junk. Y-O-J. J-O-Y. Is the way we want it. So pray for a renewed mind. And then the second one is ponder. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you know this one, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay? The word think means thoughtful consideration. And it means to meditate. So it's not just to have a passing thought about true things, but it means to really dig in and ponder. What is true? What's noble? What's right? All those things. And so we need to ask ourselves, what have I been thinking about today? Is it true? Have I been thinking about something that's a lie? Am I worrying about what might happen? Am I speculating on the motives or thoughts of another person? Have I blown something out of proportion in my mind? If so, we need to stop going down that thought path. And Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 5 that sin is not simply measured by our actions. We also sin when we embrace that thought and go down that path in our minds. Remember, Jesus said that. Okay? His example was... adultery isn't just about the physical act. It's if you're playing with that thought in your mind, you're guilty. That's what Jesus said. And so our thoughts are important. And so we need to ponder and think about that which is true. I talked a lot about this last week. True. A thing as it really is. Okay? Now, Satan is a liar. John 8:44. And he wants to corrupt our minds with his lies. Now the Holy Spirit controls our minds through truth. John 17:17. But the devil tries to control them through lies. So whenever we believe a lie and ponder a lie, we're giving in to Satan. Simple enough. Okay? So we need to ponder and dwell on the truth. And we need to think about what's noble and right. Noble means honest, honorable. Worthy of respect, and right, kind of obvious, it's innocent, it's approved by God. We need to be thinking about those things. Now, that doesn't mean we hide our heads in the sand and avoid everything that is unpleasant or displeasing, okay? But it does mean that we do not focus our attention on those things. If it's dishonorable, if it's wrong, we don't allow that to control our thoughts. We shift our thinking away from that. And then we need to think about what's pure and lovely and admirable. Pure is, that means clean, modest, uncontaminated. Lovely is pleasing, it's acceptable and friendly. Admirable is, it deserves approval. And so we need to major on the high and noble thoughts, not the low and degraded thoughts of this corrupt world. And then we need to focus on what is excellent and praiseworthy. Excellent is virtuous. It's morally good. Praiseworthy is commendable. So if it has virtue, it will motivate us to do better. If it has praise, it's worth commending to others. And we can't afford to waste our mind power on thoughts that tear us down or that would tear others down if those thoughts were shared. We need to focus on these things: true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. That's what we need to focus on. Ponder those things. Too many of us, myself included, will have a thought that doesn't fit one of those things and then get stuck on that one thought, thinking about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We do it. And yet the scripture plainly says, think on these things. So we've got to adjust the way we think and ponder and make sure we're focusing on the right things. And then the third thing we do to renew our mind is practice. Okay? You want to get good at something? You got to practice. Okay, you should have heard me when I was first learning to play the bass guitar. And practice. If anybody's ever had piano lessons, practice. If you've ever been in a sport, practice. You do way more practicing than actually performing. Right? Okay, so we need to practice. Philippians 4, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Okay, practice. We know what it means, but let me just remind you. To perform repeatedly and habitually. So create a new pattern and practice the way you think. And now I want to give you 8 specific steps that I believe will help renew your mind. And it's important, I think, even that I'm using the number 8, because in the Bible, the number 8 is symbolic of new beginnings. So if we can put these 8 things into practice, we can have a new beginning and a renewed mind. Number 1, take responsibility for your thought life. Not somebody else's thought life, it's your thought life. Take responsibility for it. Remember, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and God has given us a sound mind. Now, while we struggle with our thoughts, the Bible makes it clear that we can't win the battle in our mind. And so we need to take responsibility for that. Okay? Step number 1. And if you can't do step number 1, then the rest of them aren't going to amount to a hill of beans. You got to take responsibility. It's your mind. I'm not thinking your thoughts. I'm thinking my own. You're thinking your own. Okay? Now, sometimes I might be thinking your thoughts, but that would just be random and, you know, coincidental. And I'm sure that nobody out there is thinking my thoughts, because my mind's kind of weird. Okay. I'm a mind reader, right? No, I'm not. Take responsibility for your thought life. That seems so fundamental and so simple, and yet it's so important. Because I think too often we try to just brush it off as, I can't help it, it's the devil, it's whatever, it's life. But no, it's my thoughts. I'm thinking the thoughts. Bible says, I have the mind of Christ. I have a sound mind. So I take responsibility for my thoughts. Number 2, read your Bible every day. Again, not really that profound, and yet very important. Read your Bible every day. Fill your mind with God's truth not your own perception of truth. In John 17, 17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. So get God's word into your mind, and it will free you from the old mindset and begin the renewal process. The truth sets you free. God's word is true, and his word sanctifies us. So we need to read the word. Okay? Said before, dust it off. It might take a little bit of Windex and, you know, an extra paper towel for some of you. But get it out and start reading it. Read the word. Okay? Number three. Test your thoughts against God's word. Okay, that's kind of implied in number two, but I wanted to make it more explicit in number three. If a thought fails the test of being true or noble or right or pure or any of those things, then you need to stop going down that path with your mind. That's not the way God's word says I should think. So I need to stop thinking that way. So obviously, you need to know what the word says. So that's the reading of your Bible. And now you're applying it to your thoughts. Turn your thoughts toward God and his word. You know, the Bible says we need to put off the old way of thinking and develop a new way of thinking. And this renewing your mind is a process. It's not a one-time achievement. Okay? I've been a Christian a very long time. And I've been a pastor quite a while now, too. And guess what? I still battle the mind. I still have the fight in my brain. It's there. Okay? So don't think, okay, I'm going to do 1 through 8, and tomorrow I got it all down, baby. No, it's a process. This is something we're going to have to do forever, okay? Well, until we get to glory. On this side of heaven, we just got to keep doing these things. All right? So keep on applying God's word to your renewed way of thinking. And you can ask yourself, what scriptures will help me to apply this trait to my thought life? You know, there's scriptures that apply to almost any situation, any thought that could ever cross your mind. There's scriptures that apply to that. Well, learn those scriptures. Memorize them. Get them into your heart and remind yourself of what those things say. Okay. Number four. If you realize you have fallen short of one of those standards, don't beat yourself down. Just simply get back on the right path. Okay? I believe a lot of Christians struggle with this one. Well, I haven't been good enough. And then we get out the whip and we beat ourselves with it. Okay? God doesn't want us to do that. He just wants us to get back on the right path. Right? Remember the prodigal son? When he came home, what did the father do? He got out of the whip and said, boy, you've been a bad boy. No, he didn't. He's like, yes, come on back, son. That's the way God wants us to be. If we've gotten off track, then just admit you've been off track and get back on track. It's not that hard. You don't have to beat yourself up. I struggle with that one. If I can be perfectly honest, I'm the guy that tends to whip myself when I've been stupid. I beat myself up. But the Bible says that God welcomes us back. Just get back on track. Okay? So focus your attention on renewing your mind right now. And if you have a real struggle with one area in particular, then find scriptures that speak to that issue. Write them down. Carry them with you. Read them throughout the day. And a key issue here is, what do you want to think about? Okay? I know we all have thoughts that go through our mind and we feel bad about it, but in your heart, what do you want to think about? And so if you get off track, then get back on track. Number five, resist the enemy. There really is an enemy, okay? And most of us face evil thoughts in our minds and they invade without our permission, okay? It's very often the case for Christians that we don't intentionally go about thinking all kinds of evil thoughts. Okay? But the the devil will sneak one in there, and then we maybe will play around with it a little bit. Right? Okay? That happens. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, God basically tells us that we need to have the mindset of a soldier fighting the enemy. Now, those evil thoughts are not going to be conquered by ignoring them any more than a soldier ignores his enemy. What does a soldier do with his enemy? Confronts him head on, right? We need to do the same thing. And so we need to speak God's truth to the evil thoughts that come into our minds. For instance, this is a temptation from Satan to get me to lie or to lust or whatever it is. Fill in the blank. This is not God's thought for me. We confront it. And here, then we say, and this is what God says about the issue. And then remind yourself of the specific truth that relates to that evil thought. God doesn't want us to have a lustful thought. God doesn't want us to lie. All those things. Know the word. And when evil thoughts come into your mind, don't just try to run from them. Attack them. Once you have exposed what you're battling, then begin to focus on the positive things that God speaks of in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Bring God into the battle. Okay? Resist the enemy. Yeah, he doesn't lose. Number 6, be accountable to another godly person. Give that person permission to ask you how you are doing in the battle with those evil thoughts. Okay? One of the devil's most powerful weapons is secrecy. That's why he likes darkness. He can hide it. But if we open it up so somebody else can see, then that will help us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, just a summary here, says two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Then it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So have somebody else help you and work with you on those thoughts that you're wrestling with. And you need to be completely open and honest with them. And they need to be loving and helpful, not just kind of beat you up for it, but, you know, help you see the truth and start thinking properly. But especially if there's one or two particular areas that you really struggle with your thoughts, then you need to get somebody on board to help you with that. Okay? I can't move a couch all by myself. I know that's kind of a lame picture, but, you know, I could probably pick up the Lazy Boy, throw it over my head, and carry it out the door, but a couch? I'm going to need some help. Okay? And if I just think I'm just going to do that all by myself, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to need to send the chiropractor for a while. So we all need help. Hello? And it's so American to be, I got this. I don't need anybody. Come on. We all need help. Let's just be real about it. So have somebody help you. Then number 7, simply focus on Jesus. Okay? This idea is found in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Where it says, therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Just focus on Jesus. Some of the situations we face do not have adequate answers. There are some things in life that just don't make sense, and we struggle with how we're thinking about them. That's just life, okay? And so we need to think about Jesus. We can look to Jesus, focus our thoughts on him. Everything else might be messed up, but Jesus is not messed up, and he's not confused. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession for us. So we have to keep our thoughts fixed on him. And one way you can apply this principle here is to simply ask yourself, if Jesus were in my shoes right now, what would he be thinking about this issue or this person? Okay? Again, really not that profound, but pretty important. It's basically WWJD, except now we can put a T instead of a P. What would Jesus think? And now I need to try to think like that. Okay, number 8. Put godly thoughts into action. Not enough to just think pure thoughts. Philippians 4:9 takes it one step further. We got to put those thoughts into action. Okay? For instance, it's not enough to think kind thoughts. You need to start speaking kind words and living out kindness in the way you act towards other people. Okay? That cements it. If we think we are a generous person, what do our actions say? And if our actions send the opposite message, then we might be living in denial or delusion, and that's clearly not God's way of thinking. Okay? I think I'm the nicest person in the world. Right? And I'm so incredible. But if the behavior doesn't line up, there's a problem. Okay? So put your thoughts into action. Do it. So if you struggle with telling lies, start telling the truth. Don't just think the truth, but actually start speaking the truth. Okay? 8 basic ideas. Now, let me address this. We often don't feel like doing the right thing. This last one is about doing stuff. And a lot of times we don't feel like doing it. Can I get a witness on that? Okay. You know, I don't feel it. I don't feel like doing the right thing. But here's the truth. Right thinking leads to right actions, which leads to right feelings. Put that up on the slide, please. Right thinking leads to right actions, which leads to right feelings. And the priority is critical. If feelings are in the front, they will drive you wherever they feel like going. And your emotions will take you into all kinds of confusion. If you let your feelings drive the car, you are in for one wild ride. Okay? But right thinking guides us in responding with right actions, and that ultimately leads to right feelings. Now, those right feelings might not be instantaneous, but they will come. If you start thinking right and acting right, then you're going to start feeling right at some point. That's the way it works. If you reverse that, you are messed up and you are not going to get better. I know that was kind of harsh, wasn't it? It's true. Feelings need to follow the thoughts and the actions, not the other way around. So here's the bottom line for getting your mind renewed. When you're evaluating your thoughts, simply bring God into the mental conversation. Hey, I'm struggling with this thought. Okay, God, help me. How hard is that? You know what my all-time favorite prayer is? Some of you do. Lord, help. 2 words. Lord, help. Favorite prayer. Ask for his wisdom. And we need to understand renewing our minds is a challenge that it's going to take us a lifetime. God has done his part to help us in the process, but the real key is to remember this. This is my mind, and I must take full responsibility for renewing it, and with God's help, I will. We can have renewed minds. We can change the way we think about things. I know some of you are out there being kind of skeptical. Again, you don't know what's been in my mind for all these years. Well, let me tell you, you don't know what's been in my mind for all these years either. Okay? We understand it's a life process. The Holy Spirit is going to help us, but we need to do our part. And I think I gave you some very practical things to do. Let's start changing the way we think. We can do it. We need a renewed mind. And then that transforms us into a new person. And there's fantastic benefits when we're a new person. And we know God's will. And we have the peace of God. All of that stuff follows. If we'll get our minds renewed. Start thinking right. All right. Again, this week, I want us to take a few minutes and just think about what we're thinking about. As the music plays, ask God for wisdom and guidance. And then I think just the words of this song kind of encourage us in the right kind of thinking. So let's just take a few minutes. Think about what we're thinking about.
Who am I that the highest would rather come to me? I was lost, but he brought me of his love for me. Of his love for me. Who this heart sets free, always free and deep. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Bring your last to your ransom, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. And this house is great. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And my Father's house is a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. The sun sets free, always free and deep. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Church, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. That's who you are. And you have the mind of Christ. and it is a sound mind. That's who you are. Lord, help us to remember who we are. We so easily forget. Help us to remember. And Lord, we acknowledge there's a battle that rages in our minds. And we need your strength and your grace to get us through it. Lord, I thank you that you provided us tools already. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us your word. You give us wisdom when we ask. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we even ask for help just in the process. We want to be renewed. We want to think the right way. Help us, Lord, to win the battle in the mind. Lord, we look forward to the day of complete and total transformation. We understand it's a process from here to there. But Lord, help us every day to be a little bit more like Jesus. Help us every day to think a little bit more like Jesus thinks. Help us, Lord. Now that's what we want. We ask and we pray for your renewal, your strength. We give ourselves to you again. Today, Lord, we again say we surrender to you. Have your way in us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week. Take those thoughts captive. See you next time. What? What's the difference?